Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. Many types of applications involve managing text somehow, whether it be a customer relationship management application where you have fields of data and notes that are stored about customers and sales opportunities. Or there are also content management systems where entire paragraphs of text are published to a blog or some other web-based presentation application. So mastering strings or manipulating strings is a vital skill within .NET. In this lesson, I'm going to demonstrate several common string manipulations that are made easy by the .NET Framework class libraries string classes. All right. So to get started, let's go ahead and create a new project. I'm going to simply call this strings and click OK. So let's start off with just some simple code here. String my string equals go to your C drive. Let's imagine that we're giving some instructions to a user on how to access something in your application. And we want to print that to screen. And then we'll use our read line here at the very end. All right. So this particular string has a forward slash. And curiously, beneath that slash character is a red squiggly line. So you might wonder what could possibly be the problem with this seemingly innocuous looking code. If you start debugging the application, you're going to get an error right off the bat, and it'll say unrecognized escape sequence. The reason is because this forward slash has a special meaning in C#. It's an escape character that's used to produce other special characters and commands. So to produce the desired result, what we need to do is use two forward slashes like so. Now if we were to run the application, you can see that it converts the double slashes into a single slash. So that slash character is a little bit special when it comes to literal strings. It is, again, an escape sequence. So let me show you some other ways in which that is useful. Let me comment this out and go down to the next line. All right. So in this case, I want to, IntelliSense was not my friend in that case. It inserted something for me. my so-called life. What I want to do is insert double quotes inside of my string. However, when I do that, you can see it thinks that my second quote is the termination related to the first quote. And so you can even see how, first of all, the color of the text changes back to black, and then we have a second double quote followed by what it believes is its closing quote. What we really want is for these to be escaped so that the double quote appears correctly. So I'm going to put a forward slash next to each one. Let me go ahead and save my work and then run the application. And now we get the double quotes around so-called. Great. We can also do things with the escape character to insert special types of characters like a line feed. So let's go again here. And the way that we would insert a new line is by using the slash n escape sequence. So when I run the application, now you can see it inserts a line feed. Great. All right, so there's actually quite a few of these escape sequences that you can insert into your application. You really should check out this blog post by the C# team that you see displayed on your window right now. The key idea is that an escape sequence involving the forward slash plus another character is required to create some characters that would otherwise be difficult to reproduce inside of a literal string. All right, so let's comment all that out and move on. Now, we've already used the string.format a couple of times. Let's talk about it a little bit more. So the string.format, when used like this, allows you to substitute or rather merge strings inside of other strings, sort of like a boilerplate template. So in the simple example that you see here, notice that the curly braces with the zero inside of it are referencing the first item to the right of our comma. So the sub-zero means the first item in the following sequence. So this sequence of characters tells the string.format method to substitute the second parameter, hello, in place of the value 0. So when we run the application, we get the word hello with an exclamation mark. All right, so let's take a look at a slightly more complicated example that substitute two values into a string. All right, so this time we have two insertion points, 0 and 1. Notice the use of parentheses and so forth with inside of our literal string to get the correct formatting that we want. When we run the application, you can see how that's manifested. Okay. But string.format can do even more than that. Let's comment that out and go to an even more complicated example. All right, so let's run the application and see what this will do for us. Notice the dollar sign in front of our number. What we've done is use this colon C next to our zero in order to properly format our numeric value as a dollar amount. Now, in our particular case, the format of the number is a US dollar and cents format, since that's the language of preference within my operating system. Otherwise, the runtime will use whatever language preferences from your computer to properly format the numbers for the given country you're currently in. That's pretty cool. All right, so let's follow that and see what other types of formatting that we can do on our strings. And so you can see how we were able to take a 1 through 9, and by using the colon N format, we were able to insert commas in those places that would help us to more easily read this large number. Let's try it one more time. In this case, we took a decimal value and converted it into a percentage. We even get the percentage formatting. So 0.123 decimal value is equal to 12.30%. Cool. All right, we can even do more. All right, so let's run the application. And notice that we get area code 123456789 0. All right, so we're able to use the pound sign to represent the next number in the sequence. So we're able to create custom formats by using the pound sign in this manner. So let me do this just for fun. I'm going to remove this final pound sign and then rerun the application and see that we get a kind of butchered version. Notice that it goes from the right to the left. We have more numbers than we have positions, so it stuffs the final number, 1, in our sequence into our area code. So clearly that's something that we need to be aware of. Let's go ahead and put it back here and rerun the application. There we go, that's better. All right, so this is a small subset of examples of a very large topic. Here is another place you can look for more information on MSDN about formatting numbers and string values. All right, so let's move on to another topic here of concatenation. Previously, we showed examples of string concatenation using the plus operator. We also looked at how to use string.format, and console.writeline uses that same convention as well. Let me start off by creating an example and showing you why this is bad. All right, so now let's run this example, and you can see that we are basically concatenating together a bunch of string values, 100 from 0 to 99, putting double dashes in between each number. Now, as a variation of this, just to show you another operator that will essentially do the exact same thing. And we get the same result. This plus equal operator is exactly the same as the line of code that we wrote above it. It's just a shortcut. So take whatever the value of my string is and then append everything to the right of our plus equal sign. We can also do minus equal, but we'll avoid that for this particular example. But the concern that we have about using strings like this and string concatenation is that using that plus operator so many times, it works fine in small examples like this, but there is a small issue with doing this. When a string is declared and initialized, it takes up a fixed area of the computer's memory. So when you concatenate the string by adding additional values, what's going on behind the scenes that we don't see is that there's some work by the .NET runtime to create another space in memory that's big enough for the original space plus this new stuff and stick it in there. So it has to keep reallocating new places in memory and keep stuffing things. And it does that, in this case, 100 times. If you're going to continue to concatenate more and more strings together, you can see that this would have a negative performance result on our application and on our computer. So it would cause it to use more system resources than it should. So it's generally preferred to use a special kind of class to do string concatenations that's made for this very purpose, and that is the class is called the String Builder. So let's do this. Let's comment this out. And we're going to go String Builder my string equals new string builder. And we'll talk about this new keyword and so forth a little bit later. Here, we're going to use my string dot append, I think I spelled it wrong here. There we go. All right, so now let's rerun the application and we'll get the exact same result. However, what's going on is a more memory-friendly version of our code. The string builder doesn't do that whole shifting of memory in order to accommodate our ongoing concatenation of additional strings. It does it one time and it manages the memory much more effectively. Again, for a small application, probably doesn't matter at all. For larger applications, we want to know about and utilize the string builder, okay? All right, so finally in this video, we're going to look at how to work with some of the built-in string methods to manipulate strings. Again, there are going to be many more than I can demonstrate here in this video, but these at least get you thinking in this direction and get you familiar with what's possible. So let's go ahead and comment out all of this code. And I'm going to create a new string, myString equals, and I'm just going to put a little phrase in here. And I'm going to use one of the many helper methods available to strings. Now, some of these aren't really important in the context of what we're attempting to do at the moment, and some of them are. The one I'm looking for is substring, so I'm going to start typing. IntelliSense pulls up substring, and I'm going to look at, there's two versions of this method. Remember what we said about overloaded versions? Well, substring is overloaded, has two different versions. We're going to use the second one. We're going to define a starting index and then a length. So we want just a subset of this entire string of characters. We're going to start at position 5, and then we're going to select the next 12 characters. Okay? So let's see what happens when we run our application. We're pulling out specifically better to be out of the entire string. It's better to be lucky than good. So that's what the substring will do for us. Let's also then do something like this. All right, so we're going to call the toUpper method. When we run this, notice that it puts our entire string into uppercase characters. There's also a toLower method that will make an entire string lowercase. And that's particularly useful whenever you're comparing whatever the user typed in with one of a list of possibilities. You want to ensure that you make that we're doing an apples to apples comparison, and we don't want to cloud the comparison by the fact that one string may have upper and lower case and the other doesn't. It shouldn't really matter, but sometimes you just want to be very explicit with how the comparison will happen. So in that case, you would either do a toUpper of both the comparison text and the text that the user typed in, or a toLower in that same notion. All right, so one more variation on this. Let's call the replace method. And we're going to replace all of the blank spaces with double dashes. So this is an easy way to replace, to find things in a string and replace them with something else. So you can see we've taken out all of the spaces and replaced them with double dashes. And so I often use the replace method whenever I'm trying to massage data to take it from one source and save it into a different target that requires a different format. All right, and so for my last trick in this video, let's do this. Also, what I'm going to do on our string here at the very top is put a couple of blank spaces between the period and the closing double quotation mark. Okay, so now let's run the application, and I'll explain what happens. We have the length before and the length after. Okay, we've used this length property before when we were working with arrays. Now we're using it with a string to tell us the length of the string of characters. So because I added on a couple of characters at the end, it was the difference between 36 characters and then 34 characters. This trim method will trim off all previous and blank characters, spacebar characters, before and after the string. So let's run it again. I've added some more spaces before. So now it's even longer, and then the after is still 34 because it trims off all of the spaces. Okay, so as I said earlier, these are but a smattering of all possible string manipulations that you can do. However, this short list should serve you well. And I'd encourage you, before you go off and start writing a bunch of lines of code to manipulate strings, spend a little time before you get into that exercise. See if there isn't already a built-in method that will do whatever you're trying to accomplish for you. You might be able to kind of put a few of them together and get pretty close to what you're trying to accomplish. I've seen in the past people not familiar with the .NET framework just write elaborate amounts of code to reproduce things that are already available for you in the library that Microsoft created specifically as helper methods for strings. So chances are there's already a method that can speed you along your way. Just keep that in mind. All right, so we'll see you in the next video. Thank you.